Okay, we are in Book of Judges. We are going to start chapter 13, starting from verse 1.
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years.
Okay, now here it says, children of Israel did evil again in the sight of God. This is the pattern of Israeli people. They will commit sin, they will ask forgiveness, and they keep on doing the same thing. The same thing like today, Christian people are doing it. But that's not the will of God. God wants his people to head, not the tail. Be always up, not down. Now here we see, Israeli people, when they committed sin, God delivered them in the hands of the enemy, just like, here is the my people, take it. And so God gives these people in the hands of the enemy. And how many years? 40 years. 40 years is a long, long time. Philistines ruled Israeli people for 40 years. Babylonian people ruled Israeli people 70 years. Egyptian people ruled Israeli people for 400 years. So you can see, Israeli people are not learning that they should be not doing evil things and not going in the enemy's hand. Okay, verse 2.
And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not.
Man's name, Manoah, and he's from the Dan. There are 12 tribes. One of the tribe is Dan. So he is from the Dan, tribe of Dan, and his name is Manoah, means rest or quiet person. Now I was thinking, you study about Abraham, you study about Zechariah. Those people, when God told them that you'll have children, they have excuses. Abraham said, I'm old, Sarah is old. So he went with a Hagar. God comes and says, no, you made a mistake. Your own wife will have children. Same time, when God sent the angel to Zechariah, Zechariah says, I'm too old, my wife is old. And God says, the angel says, okay, then you are going to be mute. Here the Manoah, we don't know his age, but his wife was barren for a long time. We have to believe that he's an old man. And he's old now, and his wife is barren. Let's read the verse 3.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son.
Now his angel comes and says, I know you are barren. You don't have any children. Now the barren lady doesn't have any children. Now why he say, you are barren and you don't have children? Sometimes the barren people or people who do not have their own child, they adopt somebody's children. And so they will have children. Today, instead of adopting children, they adopt cats and dogs, and they say, this is my baby. Some people adopt some other children. But these people, this lady, her name is not given, but she didn't have children. She did not adopt any children. From that, I know she was waiting upon the Lord. And Manoah was waiting upon the Lord that God someday will give us a child. How do you know? Because when the angel comes and talks, they are not surprised. They didn't say, oh, we don't want any children and we are old. Verse 4.
Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.
Now here, angel tells her, you're going to have a child, but you have to do something. He did not tell her what her son's supposed to be doing. But he told only one thing, your son will be Nazarite. Once you say Nazarite, that means you, as a Jewish person, or Israeli person, you should know what the Nazarite means. And if you don't know, you have to go to Numbers chapter 6 and start reading from verse 1 to 21. And you will see everything about what Nazarite should be doing. So I believe Manoah and his wife, they knew the law because they were religious, godly people. God will not send angel to somebody who is living in sin and not observing the law and not pleasing the God. God always chooses his people, and God uses his people for his glory. So now here he's saying to her, you should not be drinking any grape juice, any strong drinks, even the beer or something like that. And you should not be eating any grapes or any other things. And he says, do not eat any unclean things. The names are not given. But when you go to the Leviticus, you would know what is the clean and what is the unclean. And God already told the children of Israel, they know. They will not, any Israeli person will not go and get a pig and get a pig meat. Some person might be doing it, which they don't know that this is prohibited. And the people are thinking, why God said don't eat the pig and don't eat this and don't eat that? And the people are blaming God, but God is a wise God. God is telling this lady how to keep her life clean. Now, he said don't drink anything and no strong drink. Today's ladies in Americans, they drink. Even though they are pregnant, they drink. And no wonder their children have a brain problem or some kind of problems, and they are born with a sickness and disease, and babies having cancers and things like that. God is telling, if you are pregnant, you have to take care of your baby. You cannot be pregnant and smoking and drinking and having all kinds of sinful activities, because that will defile, means deform your child. And many people do not know, and this is what happens. Okay, verse 6.
And then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name.
Now she is saying his face was terrible. It was not terrible. It was awesome. It was so much beautiful. She was so scared looking at his face. It looked like an angel or son of God. It was so bright and so beautiful. So she's explaining, I saw a man of God, or somebody gave her a good news. But she's saying, I didn't ask his name. He did not give his name. So actually, the husband can be a little bit doubtful. Who is this talking to? Some strange man. So he prays to God. He said, Lord, if that's a man of God that talked to my wife, I want to know who he is. So could you please tell him to come back? Let's read the verse 7.
But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born.
Now, when the wife tells him everything what the angel said, I don't think he doubted, he believed it, but he wanted to make sure who this man is. Is he a prophet? Is he a man of God? Or angel? Or who he is? So he goes to the Lord instead of fighting with the wife. Most of the men will start fighting and beating her. What is your business talking to the strange man? Why didn't you call me? And why you talked with him? And we don't know who this guy is and things like that. But from her description, he came to know that this is the man of God. So he goes to the Lord and he prays only one prayer. Lord, I beg you. I request you. I want that man come back and explain to us what we are going to do and how we're going to raise our child. One time he prayed. And see what happened. Let's read verse 9.
And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her.
See, the word of God says he prayed one time, and God answered his prayer. How many people pray when they are in trouble? This man was not in trouble, but he wanted an answer. So he went to God. Our God is a prayer-answering God. When you have a need, now he would have gone to the lawyer, or he would have gone to some other person and say, my wife is saying something, maybe she's a nut, she has some kind of problem, mental problem. I don't know, these days some angel comes or somebody comes and she's thinking about this. But he didn't say that. He said, Lord, if my wife's saying that, I believe it. But I want you to show me. Bring that man one more time. And God answered his prayer. From that, you know how to pray again and again and again. But somebody says, the Bible says so. Sometimes we pray and answer doesn't come. Then you check. Am I doing right thing? Am I in the will of God? Am I doing the right thing to please God? If not, keep on praying. Jesus gave an example. There is an unrighteous judge. He doesn't afraid of God, and he is not afraid of man. And the lady comes and asks him, could you give me judgment? And he said, no. So she kept on coming. And so the man says, this lady waiting me out. So I have to give the judgment. So the Lord says, if that man is not righteous and he answers her request, how much more our Heavenly Father will answer your prayer? So he says, pray without ceasing. So here that we see, one time this man prays and God answers his prayer. So our God is a prayer answering God. Don't say, I don't know how to pray to God. Some people say, you know what? I don't pray to God. Why not? Oh, because, God knows my needs and he loves me. And so I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to ask God. That's foolish. You should be talking to God like your friend. You sit with God and talk with God. You know, there was a man called Sadhu Sinder Singh. And he dedicated his life to God. And he wrote a book, Talking with God. He said, I put a chair and say, Jesus, this is your chair. You sit down there and I'm sitting here. And he would talk to the chair just like he's talking to Jesus. And Jesus will answer him and he will write the answers. And he wrote a book, what Jesus answered his prayer and talked to God face to face. The same way, today Jesus Christ is still alive and he's here. We have to talk to him. But we are not talking to Jesus. Today, somebody has the earpiece or telephone and they just keep on talking. Look like a crazy person. You don't see the phone, nothing, and the person is talking. In olden days, you'll say, this is a man talking to himself. But today we know they have phone hidden somewhere. You don't see their phone and they keep on talking. The same way, you don't see God, but God is there. You talk to him. If you're talking to God and nobody will say, are you crazy? They might be thinking he's talking to somebody with a phone. So the point I'm making, always talk to God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. He will answer your prayer. Okay, verse 10.
And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day.
Now the lady is sitting in the field, he says. Verse 9. She is sitting in the field. Didn't say she is doing some chore or some work. She was just sitting in the field. What she was doing? She was waiting to the man of God to come because her husband prayed, Lord, send the man. So now she's believing, my husband prayed, God is going to answer, the man is going to come. So she is going and checking out the man is there. Now she saw the angel of the Lord. Maybe she saw from far. His face is shining. He saw the exact dress code and everything. Instead of waiting for that man to stay wait, she ran. She ran to her husband and told him, I saw the man other day. I saw that man again. And so this man didn't say, you are daydreaming, I'm not coming. And he didn't say, God cannot answer prayer that fast. But he was ready. He might be dressed and everything. He didn't say, let me put on my pants and shirt. He was ready. He just went with her and he saw the man of God or the angel of the Lord. So the point I'm making here, husband and wife together believed and prayed. When you say her husband prayed, doesn't mean his wife didn't pray. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, the word of God says, husband and wife, they should pray together. So their prayer will be answered. If not, whatever they want, it will be hindered. And so husband and wife, they should be praying. If they don't have children, they pray for children. I prayed for children. And even though they were in the womb, we lay hand and pray. And daughter was born. And 5 years, no more children. And so we were not panicked. Why we didn't have the child? And my daughter comes and say, Daddy, Mommy, I need a brother or sister. I said, okay, then you pray. We told her to pray. And then we prayed. And my wife got a son. Right away, not too many years. As soon as we prayed, God gave us a son. The point I'm making, husband and wife should pray. Husband already prayed. And the man comes, she runs to her husband. And he comes right away. Let's read verse 11.
And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee.
Now see, the angel did not say, didn't I tell your wife everything? Why are you asking me? Your wife didn't tell you? He didn't say like that. He told him everything exactly what he said to his wife. So the Manoah has no doubt this is the man. Otherwise, if this man says something else, he is not going to believe that she saw this person. So this person says, this man says exactly, say, are you the man? He says, I am. Do you know when Moses was saying, what is your name? What should I say? He says, I am. I am that I am. So from this we know this can be son of God, this can be angel of the Lord. But the point I'm making is giving them instruction what to do and what not to do. Okay, verse 16.
And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord.
Now here the man says, Manoah said to him, you stay here. You wait here. We will go and cut the lamb, make food for you, and we'll give it to you. He said, no, don't give it to me. If you want to give offering to God, then you do it. But I'm not going to eat, but I'm going to wait. You remember we studied about Gideon? When the angel appeared, and he said to angel, would you wait here? I'll go and bring some food for you. And angel said, okay. He has to go and cook everything and bring the broth and everything. And he said, put it on that rock. And the angel took a stick and put it there, and everything was approved by God. And God used that offering. And then angel disappeared. Now, we don't know the same angel came or different angel came. But this angel said, I'm not going to eat. Other angel didn't say anything, I'm not going to eat at that time. But he said, I'm not going to eat, but give offering to God. So now, they are preparing everything and bringing to God. Okay, verse 70.
And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?
Now see, in different Bible, different thing he says. He says, my name is secret. Some Bible says, my name is wonderful. But here, why the angel didn't give the name, I'm thinking. Because he said, if you tell your name, when things happen what you said, then we are going to honor you. Angel doesn't need your honor, doesn't need your prayer, and doesn't need your worship. Because if you start worshiping angel, that is idol worship. So angel says, don't worship me, God you worship, and give sacrifice to God. And you don't have to know my name. Now, if you remember, in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob wrestled with God, the word of God says, or the angel, and he asked the same man, what is your name? No name was given. Here also they said, give me a name, and he says, my name is secret, the name was not given. The point I'm making, these people, when the word of God says, the angel of the Lord appeared, they do not want angel to be worshipped. But this angel sound like a son of God, or the son of God appears in the form of angel. But that's why some people say angel of the Lord. The many time when they say angel of the Lord, is not Jesus all the time. But here he says, I am, and he says, don't give me any offering, give it to the Lord. So some people can say this is the angel, some people say it's the angel of the Lord, some people say this is son of God. But here one thing this angel is saying, I'm not giving my name, I don't want you worship me, just worship God. So they worship the Lord with their sacrifice. Verse 19.
So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God.
Their offering was pleased in the sight of God. Angel disappeared. And now these people are scared, especially Manoah. He was so scared, he starts saying, honey, we saw God. Now we are going to die. And he got so scared. Some people can have a heart attack and they die. But the wife, even though her name is not given, but the wife looks much more religious than man. She's telling him, do you know, if God wanted to kill us, he would not tell us first that you're going to have a child. Another thing, he is not going to take our offering and receive our offering. If this was the plan of God, he would not tell us what's going to happen. So we are not going to die. So she was a wise woman, and she told the man, we are not going to die. And thank God, she saved his life. Verse 23.
But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol.
Now here the word of God says, the lady became pregnant. God did not tell her what to name the child, but she named the child Samson. And the Samson means, he says, sunlight, means like a sunlight or something like shining. So she named him like that. And the word of God said, the Spirit of the Lord began to move in his life. Now, it doesn't say what did he do from that time until he got married. Because here he says his birth, and he's from the camp of Dan, means his family of Dan. And then he started working in between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, what he was doing, maybe going and killing some Philistine, but now chapter 14 says that now he is grown up man. Here goes the birth in chapter 13, and now he's ready to get married. So this many years passed. Now somebody say, oh, maybe he was 18 or 17. 18 and 17 years old in those days will not get married. Most of the people, they have to be at least 30 years old to get married. You remember this Isaac? When Isaac got married, he was 40 years old. So they don't get married that soon. So I believe now Samson is almost 30 years old. When Jesus Christ was 30 years old, then he took baptism. From that, you know, they have to wait to do their ministry. So here, Samson is now ready to get married. So now, let's start Judges chapter 14, verse 1.
And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.
Now Samson goes to the Timnah. Now, Timnah place, you remember when Job's friend came, one of them came from Timnah. So those people, things like a wise people and things like that, so he might have seen the beautiful girl there, and that girl tried to entice him and making friendship with him. And whatever he said, she said, I'll do it. So he said, I like the girl in Timnah, but she's Philistines. Now, according to the Jewish law, they should not be marrying heathen girl. And mother and father, they knew already. So father said, You know what, son? We have beautiful girls too in our brethren. Why you want uncircumcised person's daughter? He says, Dad, I like that girl, and she pleases me, and I cannot live without her. You better go and find her. I can see at this particular time, Samson might be 30 years old, but he still wants mother and father's approval. Today, the girls are 18 or 13 or 14. They start doing their old stuff. And mother and father start saying, you are old kind. You don't know what the new things are. Because they start looking for boyfriend or looking for girlfriend or something like that. So the Samson says to his father, please come with me or go and find a girl for me. This is what I want. And I don't want any other girls. So see what happens. Verse 4.
But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel.
Now, here the word of God is saying, father and mother didn't know what was the reason he wants the enemy's daughter. The word of God says God was going to allow Samson to marry this. And so the problem comes and fighting and war, and those people will be killed. That was the plan of God. But God did not say to his mother and father, you know what, this is my plan. I'm breaking my own law. Now let the Samson marry somebody else. God didn't say. The mother and father didn't know why this is happening. But here, to us to know, God says, God allowed this Samson to happen. But that marriage did not work too long. When mother and father say, don't marry this guy, this is not good for you, and he will ruin your life, and they don't listen, and the marriage does not stay too long. Some people say, oh, it worked 10 years, it worked 12 years. Marriage is not for 10 or 5 or 12 years. Marriage is for life. But sometimes we make mistakes. So see what happens to his marriage. Okay, verse 5.
Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the women, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him.
Now, here is the story. Samson tells mom and dad, they goes with him. And I don't know what was the distance between mother and father and son. You might be going ahead of them and say, you follow me. And when he goes there, the lion comes to attack him and he tears him apart, but he doesn't tell mother and father. Then they go and come back, and here we see the lion is in the sunshine, drying and everything, and the beast comes and forms the home in his mouth. He takes the even honey. According to the Bible, he's not supposed to do that. He's not supposed to touch any unclean thing. But he takes and gives to mother and father. If they came to know, they will be defiled. But he doesn't say anything. Now, so many things he keeps secret. And now he's going there and set up marriage. First time they might have gone to just arrange the marriage. And then the now second time they go for the wedding. So here now, they took people with them, and now this is the marriage is going to happen. Okay, verse 12.
And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments.
Now here, this is already wedding happened from this talk. Now wedding happened, there is a 7 day feast. So the first day of the feast, Samson says, you know, I give you a riddle. You explain the riddle or give the meaning. If you don't give the riddle, then you have to give 30 pieces of changing clothes and sheets and things like that. That's the deal they made, and see what happens. Verse 13.
But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not in 3 days expound the riddle.
Now see, he made his own riddle. Now what is saying, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came sweetness. Now nobody in the world will find out, because he saw the lion is the strongest animal, and the honey is sweet, and honey came out of the lion's mouth. So nobody will know this. But he gave this riddle, and they are puzzled. So they could not find out what to say. So they came to his wife and say, hey, listen, you ask him, and then we will give the answer. So they are bugging her every day. She's bugging him every day. She's crying and saying, please, you don't love me. You tell me the story. You tell me this. And see what this Samson is doing. Verse 15.
And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so?
Now, they start threatening his wife. If you don't find the answer from your husband, this is the way we know that he's married already. If you don't tell us, we are going to burn you and your father's house, and so you people will be completely destroyed. Now she is afraid of her whole family, so she is bugging him, please, crying and weeping and telling him, please tell me, please tell me. He did not tell her until the last day. Seventh day he told her. As soon as he told her, she called the people and told them this is what the riddle is. Verse 16.
And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people.
See, the ladies have one weapon. What is it? Crying. They keep on crying until they get the thing. And some children also same thing. They cry. What are you crying, honey? Oh, I want this, I want that. And you see some people are shopping and their children, how they cry and go after them. And that to keep their mouth shut, mom and dad will buy everything what they want. And once you do that, they got the idea, if you don't cry, you don't get. There is a saying, if the baby doesn't cry, baby doesn't get milk. So the wives, she's crying and weeping and convincing her husband. He said, listen, I didn't tell my mother, I didn't tell my father. So some people say, what does it mean? Do you not love me more than your mom and dad? After you get married, if you talk to your wife too much about your mother, she will hate you. Because you say, my mother cooks this fine and you don't cook this way. My mother does this and you don't do this thing. That lady will not like it. The same way if you're marrying another lady and your wife is dead or your wife divorced, you never tell the new wife how good was the previous wife. If you start telling previous wife she was better than you and this and that, this new marriage will not work. So he is saying, so she didn't like what he's saying, but she's crying until he gives the answer. That means she was wearing him out. She made him crazy. Tell me now. So this kind of trick the ladies do, so the husband get crazy and he has to tell. So now this is the seventh day of marriage, the last day of feast. So he tells her everything, the story. Then she goes and tells those people. Let's read verse 18.
And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend.
Now see the story here. He told the riddle. He told them, you know, because of my wife, you got this. But anyhow, now what I'm going to do, I promise you. So he goes and kills 30 people and bring their clothes and give it to him. Now he killed only 30 people. Do you know the King Saul said the same thing to David? If you can give me the 100 of foreskins of people, I'll give my daughter to you as a wife. But before that, he promised, whoever kills the Goliath, I'll give my daughter. But now he changes his word. Now David said, okay, no problem. He goes and kills 200 people, double the what he asked. So same way now Samson goes and kills these 30 people. It's not easy to go and kill. He's not going and killing beggars. He has to have a beautiful garment, maybe rich people's garment. Otherwise, he cannot go and kill 30 raggedy clothes and give it to them. They will not take it. So he has to find the person who is very rich and have the one garment, maybe $1,000 worth. He has to get this 30 garment like that. And so he got it and gave it to them. And when he gave it to them, he got a little bit angry. He got so angry, or angry at his wife, angry at his people, and so he just left the town. So can you imagine? Father and mother told him in advance, please don't marry the heathen girl. He didn't listen. So marriage didn't work for the week. Their honeymoon is not even over. It's just the feast and the The marriages happen and now they have to go on honeymoon. He said, I'm not going with you on honeymoon. You treated me like a trash. You did not, maybe she did not allow him to sleep with him because she is bugging him. Give me the answer. Otherwise, I cannot talk to you. So 7 days feast. And now he comes home. Not only that, when he came home, those people supposed to keep his wife, but as soon as he went home, they gave his wife to somebody else, his friend. Now, Samson was a good man. He didn't want to tell the best friend, hey, you stolen my wife. I can kill you. But he said, that's okay. And so he did not say anything. The lady's father said, I have another girl. Beautiful, younger than her, you can marry her. But Samson didn't like what he said. But that we will be reading next week. You can be a man of God. God has chosen you. You have a better future. God wants to use you. You have to be obedience to your mother and father, and then obedience to your God. If you are not obedience to your mother and father, how can you obey God? The word of God says, if you cannot love your brother, how can you love God? You don't see God. So God says, you see your brother, you see your sister, love them. You hate your brother, you hate your sister, and you say, I'm a man of God. I'm a child of God. That is hypocrisy. Because you have to love your brother. And the Bible says, if you hate your brother, you are walking in death. You cannot hate your brother. You cannot hate your sister. You have to love them. And you say, oh, but they are not Christian. They don't live a good life. This and that. God will take care. Your job to love your brother and sister. Same way you have to love your mother and father. And the Bible says, obey your father and mother in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, that means if your mother and father tells you to steal, tells you to murder somebody, tells you to rob somebody or do something wrong, don't listen. Or mother and father says, don't go to church, don't read the Bible, don't listen to them. And then God will not punish you. But if they give you commandment in the Lord, you have to obey. But Samson did not obey mom and dad. And his marriage did not work. As soon as he married, this is almost like a divorce. He came home and his wife was given to somebody else. So from that we know, God has a plan for us, but we have to live according to the plan of God. Now people sometimes disobey God, but God says, okay, I'm not going to kill you right away. Some people say, oh, I'm a child of God, but I did something wrong, and God did not punish me. So what they think, oh, God gave me the license, so keep on doing. God says, you know what? Sudden destruction will come. So you have to think, God is love, and what? God is consuming fire. We cannot play with the fire. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Bless each and everyone who is sitting and standing. You have started a good work in us. Let us be blessing to someone. Our fathers, our mothers, our friends, our community, and let each and everyone be blessed through our life. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.